In John chapter 17, verses 1 through to 4, these words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Pleading for glory. He's pleading for glory, our Lord Jesus. The last message we entitled, Asking for Glory. Pleading for glory is today's message. There's a difference, isn't there? There's a difference between asking and pleading. A great difference. And we're considering the pleading today. The asking is just a request. Glorify thy Son. That's the request. And it's repeated again at the verse 5. O Father, glorify thou me. So that's the request. He asked for the glorifying of himself at the start and at the end, and all in between are the arguments and the pleas. Glorify thou me for this reason and for that reason and for the other. Glorify thou me. He's pleading. He's not just asking, he's pleading. This intercession is not just petition. It is petition backed up with righteous and good arguments. If intercession is earnest and hearty and determined, then you will have that. You'll more than just ask. You'll plead. You'll argue. You'll reason. You'll supplicate. And that's how Jesus prays. Jesus knows how to pray. He knows how to pray, and the more I study it, the more I'm amazed. This man can pray. He can pray. He knows how to plead. Of course, we're not surprised at that, are we? He's a great advocate. He's the one who can go to the bar of God, the judge, and plead and reason and argue reverently and righteously. But he can do it. The great advocate. He can lay down the reasons. He can order his cause in prayer like no one else. If any man sin, bless God, we have him as our advocate. He can plead. He knows how to plead. You know, if you really want something, you'll present reasons for it to God with earnestness. And the Savior's in earnest to be glorified, comes with these supplicating reasons, and they are enclosed between the two petitions. Let's see them. And there are several reasons and arguments that we want to look at. The first argument is his sonship. Do you see what he says? He says, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. He's pleading his sonship. He doesn't just say, glorify me, although he does at the end, but before he does, he just reminds the Father, I'm your Son. Glorify thy Son. He says it twice in the same breath, that thy Son may glorify thee. You know, that's a strong argument, isn't it? I'm your Son, Father. Glorify me. That's a really strong argument. It's no wonder it comes first. Thou canst not refuse me. This is my petition, and thou canst not refuse me because I'm your Son. That is real.
I mean, the Lord Jesus reminded us himself of the logic of that, didn't he? In the Sermon on the Mount, he says, if you being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father in heaven give good gifts unto them that ask him? So he'd watch parents and children on earth, and you know, the children come and, I'm hungry, Daddy, give me some bread. And they give him bread because he's a child, he's a son. Don't let him starve. He says, my Father's like, he's my Father. And I can go into his presence and I say, Father, glorify thy son. It has weight, doesn't it? Oh, I'm glad that my Savior is the Son of God. I'm glad that he has weight in heaven. I'm glad that it wasn't an angel. If an angel could have died for me, which is impossible, but if an angel could have died for me, I'm glad it was no angel. Because an angel is not his dear son. It's his son. It's his son, his precious son. And whatever he asks, he will get. I know that thou hearest me always, Father. And so he pleads the relationship. The problem about earthly fathers, of course, is we refuse sometimes good things to our child. We're very unwise, and even sometimes we're very uncaring. And the problem also is that sometimes the children don't ask for good things. They don't always ask for right things, so we can't always give them what they ask and what they want. But that doesn't exist between the Father and the Son. The Son is perfectly loved by the Father, and the Son perfectly knows the will of the Father and the mind of his Father, and he always asks in the will of his Father. So that problem doesn't exist. Whatever the Son desires is according to the will of the Father, and he just has to say, I'm your Son. I'm your Son. So the Son of God will only ask for what is good and right. The Father hears him pray, the hymn puts it. His dear anointed one, he cannot turn away the presence of his Son. And so you see why the Lord makes it a plea. It's a good plea. It's the greatest plea of all. It's the best plea. And it would suffice, we would think, in itself, wouldn't we? But the Lord goes on to make other earnest arguments and pleas, as we shall see. So sonship is a good plea. And you know, whenever we pray, we can use that argument. We can make that plea as well. We can claim the sonship of Christ. And not our sonship. Every time we pray, do we say, Father, hear me for thy son's sake? Ourselves? No. We don't plead our sonship. We plead his sonship. He's the true son. He's the real son. We're just adopted sons. And our relationship to the Father is through Christ, the real Son. And so when we come to the Father, we don't plead our sonship. We say, Father, for thy Son's sake, hear me. We plead his name. We plead his sonship as well. And so we can do that. And we must do that. Now there are times whenever we can say, Father, I'm your child. And I'm in a real terrible situation. Help your child. We can plead. We can pray. We can remind the Father we are his child in Jesus Christ. But in everything, we certainly plead his name. And especially when we seek the forgiveness of our sins. Oh, we say, Father, oh, for thy dear son's sake who died for me, forgive all my sins. We can plead sonship as well. For thy dear son's sake. It's a good plea. And brethren and sisters, learn to do it. Ask everything in the name of Jesus. Ask everything for the sake of the Son of God to your Heavenly Father. It's a good plea. But then he doesn't only plea his relationship, he also pleads the Father's own glory. Now notice the strength of that word, that. Glorify thy Son, that I, thy Son, might glorify thee. That word, that's a real argument. That's a reason. Well, why should I glorify you, my Son? Oh, Father, it's that I might glorify you. That's how to pray. If the Son of God is not glorified, you see, the Father will not be glorified. If Jesus rots in a tomb, and he's not preached among the Gentiles, and he's not preached all over the world as the glorious Son of God, if he rots in a tomb and that's his name perish, like everybody else in Israel, all their names perish, if the Son of God is just like that, and you can find his bones in some archaeological dig, if that's all it is, there's no glory to God. And so the Savior says, you have to glorify me, Father. You must do it. Because it's how you're going to be glorified. So he's praying, he's pleading the glory of God. The glory of God will not be diminished. The Son doesn't want it diminished. That's what the Satan wants. He wants the glory of God diminished. And so it's essential that Christ be glorified, absolutely essential to the glory of the Father and of God. And the Lord Jesus very reverently reminds the Father of that. Not that he forgets. The Father doesn't forget, and he knows rightly where his glory lies. He doesn't forget, but he loves this kind of pleading. These pleas delight him. And brethren and sisters, I have to tell you this, and I'm sure we've all proved this, that if God's glory is genuinely our argument, God hears and answers. If his glory has really been on our heart, it's a difficult matter, but if his glory has really been on our heart, he intervenes. He hears prayer. He hears prayer. Now, if it's all about yourself and promoting yourself, God's not going to hear you. If you're praying about your glory, it's nonsense, and God won't hear it. But if we genuinely and humbly and truly and meekly desire the glory of God, he hears us. And he certainly hears his Son, because that's what his Son genuinely desires. And we have to learn to plead Christ's sonship, but we also have to learn to plead God's glory. Father, if this continues like this, you're going to be dishonored. If this nonsense goes on and you don't intervene, it's your glory that's at stake. His glory should be the greatest thing in our hearts. It's all that matters in this house. His glory, his glory. Isn't that why Moses was heard? God said to Moses, look, let me wipe them all out. I'll make you great, Moses. Never mind the congregation. I'll make you great. And Moses said, oh, but Father, what about your name? What about your glory? They'll say you just brought them out here into the wilderness to kill them and from all to die and to perish, and your name will be in the mud. And Moses was genuinely concerned about that. He wasn't ambitious for himself. He was genuinely concerned for the glory of God. And he pleaded that with God. And God heard it. And God turned from his anger. And Moses went down, and that was his turn to get angry when he saw it all. And the poor man got angry. And the Lord had to punish him for that. And it happens. But at heart, he had the glory of God at heart. No matter about his faults and his anger. He had God's glory at heart. And you know, if we have God's glory at heart, that's a mighty argument. Learn to use that argument. Father, it's for your glory. For your own name's sake and for your glory and honor. Hear this prayer. And then thirdly, he pleads the divine promise and the divine will, because that's what we have in verse 2. The Son here is reminding the Father, as thou hast given him power, that's the Son of God over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Now, that I'm not going to go into all that in detail. We may pause at that verse as we come to it in days to come. But what the Son of God is, he's making this all part of an argument. And what the Son of God is saying here, he says, this is your plan, Father. This is your will. You have will to make me a powerful Savior. You have will to give me power over all flesh. Over all of humanity, all flesh, you've ordained to give me power over all flesh. so that I can give eternal life to all of those out of that humanity that you've given to me. That's your will. That's your promise. We've made a covenant. You've given me a whole lot of people, Father. We've made a covenant. You've given me all, you've promised me all of this power over the whole human race and over the whole. You've promised me all of this. We've been in a covenant together. He's talking about the covenant. He says, you must glorify me because this is your will and this is your promise and this is a covenant. The covenant that we have made together. There's this elect people and you've ordained to save them by me. This is your decree. This is your plan. This is your covenant. This is your plan. And for that to work, you have to glorify me. For that to come to pass, you have to glorify me. You have to raise me from the dead and exalt me and set me at thy right hand. Otherwise, it won't come to pass. There'll be nobody saved. The elect won't be brought in. I won't have any power over anybody if I'm just rotting in the tomb. You have to glorify me. You have to resurrect me. You have to put me up in your right hand. You must, because it's your covenant promise. And so you see why he brings verse 2 in. It's just, he just doesn't fill up the prayer with wee words and has a wee chat and a wee talk, fill it up with theology. And he, no. He's arguing. The Lord is saying, Father, it's all promised. You promised me this authority. You've given me souls to save. Now, glorify me. And what I'm saying to you, brethren and sisters, is the Father loves that. He loves that pleading. He loves that bringing the promises. He loves you bringing the covenant. He loves you doing it. He loves you bringing the things that he's promised. He loves you bringing his promised will. He loves it. He loves to be reminded of his promises. And so we plead like that as well, don't we? Jesus knows how to pray. And we need to follow in his steps. We need to pray like this. Father, you told me. You told me you'd be my God and the God of my children. That's the covenant you give me. You told me that. When we made covenant together, you says, I'll be a God unto you and unto your children. And I believe it, and I claim it, and I bring it to you. This is how we pray. You only can pray with the promises. You can only argue with the will of God, the things that he's given you, the promises, and especially the covenant. Oh, Jesus knows how to pray. And we have to pray like this. I hold you to your word, Lord. You've said it. So these are three mighty arguments, aren't they? Sonship, God's glory, God's covenant promises. That's how we pray too. These are the arguments that we use for the growth of the church. Especially for her growth in holiness. I know that Mom wants to see another growth. Fill all the pews up. But God is interested, first of all, in a far more important growth than that. The growth and holiness of the church that is. That's what he's interested in more than anything. Sanctify them. Make them holy. And so whenever we pray for our growth in holiness and also our numerical enlargement, in everything that we pray for and ask, we should be able to bring in these holy pleadings. God's glory. The glory of the Son of God. And his promises. He's promised to make his people holy. And he has promised to build his church glorious. He has promised that the elect lady, though barren, will become a happy mother of children. That's a promise to the church. The Jerusalem which is above is a mother of us all. The church is a mother that needs to have children. The Lord needs to take away the reproach of barrenness from the congregation. We need to pray for conversions. We need to pray that the Lord will come and turn our mourning and our sorrow into singing. And He's promised He'll do it. He's promised it. This is how we pray, brethren and sisters. We learn to plead the promises. And then last of all, He pleads His glorious finished work. He pleads His impeccable righteousness. And you have it there in verse 4. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou givest me to do. Do you see what he's saying? Glorify me now. I glorified thee on the earth. I finished the work. Glorify me. You see what he's saying? You see, he's pleading his life on earth, and he's pleading his death on the cross, the finished work. The finished work. Don't we use that expression, the finished work? Well, where do we get it from? We get it from here. I finished the work. The finished work. He pleads the finished work. That's how to pray. The plead the blood. The plead the work of God. The work of Jesus for us sinners. The Lord Jesus was sent by the Father to do a work. And he did it. What was he sent to do? He was sent to glorify God on earth. That's what he was sent to do. And he did it. He glorified him in a humble, holy, obedient life. I glorified thee on the earth. I kept all the commandments. I kept the law. I magnified it and made it honorable. And I did this wonderful work of helping men. I helped all who were oppressed. And I healed the sick and I made the blind to see. I was a good man. And I glorified thee in a holy obedience. In every way. In the worship of you, Father. In the love of you, my God. And in the love to my neighbor. I glorified you. And I finished the work. So he glorified God in his life and he glorified him in his death. What were his last words on the cross? It is finished. What's finished? The work. It's finished. Now glorify me. Glorify me. I'm going to go into the tomb soon, Father. Glorify me. You have to do it now. And I think you have to agree, this is mighty praying. If you get sucked into this prayer, it'll be like a hurricane or a tornado. It'll just suck you up in it. And it'll bless your heart. This is how to pray. We pray like that too, or we should. But none of us say, Father, I've been a good boy. I glorified thee on earth. I finished the work. Do any of us talk like that? No, we can't. We can't. Father, I've been an unprofitable servant. In fact, I've been an unfaithful servant at times. And I have left unfinished so much business that you give me to do. I can't plead that. How can I tell my Father that? We don't pray like that. So we don't. We don't pray like that. No. I would never be heard if we plead our works and our servants, our servant labor. We'll never be heard. Ah, but we know how to plead the blood. And we know how to plead the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And we know how to say, Father, for the sake of thy Son who loved me and glorified thee in his death for me on the cross, and who bore my sins. Oh, hear him. Hear me for his sake. Yes, I'm a sinner. But look upon the Son of God who has died for my sins. And for his sake, hear me. And so we pray. We use these pleas as well, though from a different angle. That's how to pray. You'll not be heard for your much asking. You'll not be heard because, oh, I've done this, I've done that, and I've prayed for years and years and all this and that. Oh, no, none of that counts. But we can plead Christ's worthiness. So these are four mighty arguments. And now do you see why God raised him from the dead? Do you now see it? Do you now see why God has put him up there at his own right hand and has said, sit there, my son, and make all your enemies your footstool? Do you see why he has done that? Because of this mighty praying, these mighty arguments to a heavenly Father. This is why these prayers were answered. And we can use the same arguments. Christ's sonship, God's glory, the covenant, and the promises, and Christ's life and death, his righteousness and death. This is how to pray in faith and in his will. And we know that if we pray thus and ask all things according to his will, he heareth us. Because praying like this is always heard in heaven. Let us pray.